The first reading today, St. Paul is talking about the glory that God had shown in establishing the first covenant. It wasn't the first one, but the old covenant, the Ten Commandments, so much so that the face of Moses glowed. And he, remember, he had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't look at it because of the glow that was there. And he said, if that kind of glory was there in the inauguration of that first covenant, think of the glory that is there in this new covenant. Because the new covenant is the very person of Jesus Christ. And when we think about our Lord and the glory that is his, certainly on one hand you can see it, I suppose you could say in the negative way, in his face that was so marred beyond human comprehension. That was the glory of our Lord on earth. But then in the resurrection from the dead, the glory that shone through him. Now, in his ascension and glorification in heaven, where the glory of God is shining through the humanity of Christ, that's the glory that you and I have been baptized into. And that's the point that St. Paul is making. He said, look, this old covenant, he said, it's, again, as we even hear in the gospel, it's about the commandments of God, and not one of them is going to pass away. It's truth. And he said it was so glorious, and yet it's a law that condemns. And it is something written on stone. And yet look at the glory that is there. The glory that is ours shines in the face of Christ. It is written on human hearts, not on stone. It is, as St. Paul makes clear, a covenant that brings righteousness. It's a covenant that brings life. And so if a covenant that brought death and condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the covenant that brings righteousness and life? Even when we look at what our Lord spoke in the gospel, and he tells us that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then goes on to talk about whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So our Lord summarized all of it. And he said, I give you a new commandment to love one another. Sounds pretty simple. And we fail all the time. He asked us to do one thing. And we can't even handle that. The very thing for which we were created, the very thing which is going to bring us life, the very thing which is going to fulfill, the very thing that we are going to do for all eternity if we get to heaven. It's all that he asked us to do. And we don't. So if whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, we have to ask ourselves, where do I stand? We have a covenant that brings life and righteousness. What is righteousness? It is to be like God. That's what holiness is, God-likeness. And God is truth and God is love. That's what he desires for us, made in his image and likeness, to become the people he created us to be, to become more and more and more like God. In other words, to love more and more and more. One of the things, and I point this out frequently, and I'm sure I've told you before, it's one of my constant frustrations to challenge people to love more, and they don't want to. Remember, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And yet most people don't want to love any more than they already do. Ah, that's okay, I'm good. No, we're not. Because we keep breaking the commandment. There's something I've noticed on the internet a long time ago, I'm sure it's still up there, but it's this little thing that said, you had one job to do. And obviously it's just showing all the failures of these people. They had one task to complete, and they did it completely wrong. Well, welcome to the Christian life. We have one commandment. It encompasses all of them then, but we have one. And we can't seem to do it. We had one task given to us, and we fail. So that's what we want to be working toward. We have this new covenant. It is a covenant that gives life. It's a covenant of righteousness. And so what is that life going to be? The love of God and the love of neighbor. So that's what we want to be striving for. So I challenge you again, grow in charity. The problem for married people when we call them to grow in love is that that's going to change your relationship. And that's why most people don't want to do it. Because we've just gotten comfortable with the way things are. We're in this rut and we're okay with it. Is God okay with that? But even if you're not married, God wants us to love more. He wants us to keep growing. So for those of you who are married, I remind you again, on the day that you got married, you did not say, I vow to love you as little as I possibly can for the rest of my life. Or, I'll love you sorta. Mediocre, kinda. No, you didn't say that. So think about what it is that you vowed. And ask yourself, is that what I'm doing? Now, to love somebody doesn't mean having gushy feelings for them. It doesn't mean being romantic. The feelings and the romance can be there with love, but that's not what love is all about. It's serving the other. It's seeking the good of the other. It's putting the other first. It's building the other up. It's helping one another to become saints. That's what charity is all about. And so that's the call for each of us. We have everything there. We have the covenant, and the covenant is the person of Jesus. The covenant St. Paul was talking about, written on stone, it's the Ten Commandments. We have the covenants written in our hearts, as Jeremiah promised it would be. But the covenant is the person of Jesus. So we have everything that we need. We have everything at our disposal. Now all we have to do is to decide to do it, to make the effort. It should be easy. It's not. Because of sin, because of our own brokenness, because of whatever else, because we live in the most selfish society in the history of the world, it has become very difficult. And yet, that one commandment remains. The same call given to each one of us. How we're going to live it out may be a little bit different, but it's the same call for everyone. And so if the one who follows the commandment, who is obedient, is the one who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, well, ask yourself, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Our Blessed Lady. Why? Because she loves the most. That's why she's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So as I like to remind people, we could make an argument for who might be second in the kingdom of heaven, but church has never said anything about it. So there is no reason in the world why that can't be you. Don't aim low, aim high. If you aim for a second in the kingdom of heaven, meaning simply you want to love God as much as you possibly can, and you don't make it there, don't worry. If you aim low, I want to just eke in, I want to love as little as I can for the rest of eternity, and you miss, you're doomed for eternity. Don't aim low, aim high. Look at the example of our Blessed Lady. Look at the example, obviously, of our Blessed Lord. Look at what God has given to you. All the grace, all the things that come with the covenant of who is Christ. And then embrace it and live it so that everything now brought into one, because Jesus didn't come to abolish but to fulfill, everything has been brought into one commandment. So we don't need all these different ones. We just need one. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself.